Well, dear friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our gospel reading, we had a really short gospel reading this morning for Pentecost Sunday, and it maybe didn't seem very Pentecost-y, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't the fire and the tongues going out and all the people being baptized. It was Jesus at this feast crying out about something about living water, right? But I was preparing for today, and I was learning more about this feast that Jesus was at, and it actually sounded pretty cool, all right? Here's what I learned. This is the Feast of Booths, all right? And you're like, that sounds like a weird feast. This was the biggest celebration that the Jews had, the Feast of Booths. And get this, it happened in the fall. It was kind of like the biggest holiday they had, Christmas and Oktoberfest, all in one. Doesn't that sound awesome? And guess what? It wasn't just one day. It was 7 days long. Christmas and Oktoberfest for 7 days. And then they had the final day, the great day, the eighth day. An eight-day-long feast. And so it's at this feast, this seven-day festival, where they would have festivities. And they called it the Feast of Booths because they would set up all these tents and booths. And they would have all these things going on, and they would be celebrating the fall harvest and enjoying all the new produce and all the things that were to be enjoyed. And what would happen is every single day, what they would do is they would have a parade. And this parade would go from Jerusalem outside the city gates, and they would be singing psalms on the way, all the way down, and they'd be singing psalms as they went down to the Pool of Siloam, all right? And then they'd take this big golden flagon, all right, this great basin pitcher, all right, and they would fill it up with water, and they'd parade it all the way back up to Jerusalem on the hill. And then we go all the way to the temple and all the way to the altar. And this is all while they're still singing psalms, all right? And they would parade around the altar in the temple with this water. And then finally, they would pour out all the water all over the altar. It was the big event for the day. Could you imagine, kids, like a parade every single day? Oh. And what it did was it recalled for the Jews several things. It recalled how Adam was created on that sixth day in the Garden of Eden. And if you've ever looked in that part of Genesis, when Adam's created, he's surrounded by water. Because the verse before, it said that there were springs of living water or mists coming out from the earth and watering all the land, right? And then Adam is created. And then right after Adam is created, it talks about all these rivers going out from the Garden of Eden to the rest of creation and giving life to the rest of creation. It's almost as if Adam and living water had the same purpose. That Adam was created to sustain and care for and give life to creation, and water was created to sustain and give life to creation, right? It's almost like Adam was meant to be like water for the earth. Almost like you and I are meant to be water for the earth. And then this great Feast of Booths also recalled God's protection and provision and presence while Israel was in the wilderness in tents and booths, right? And so they'd set up all the tents and booths during the feast to celebrate that. But how God provided water for them in the wilderness, even water from a rock, that God was still giving them life in the desert. And then it also recalled God's promise to dwell with them. So if you go to like Ezekiel chapter 47, for instance, it had rivers of living water flowing from the temple that would water all of creation and renew all of creation. And that's why they would bring that water up to the Jerusalem temple altar and pour water all over the altar to remember that God promised to give life to his creation from his own self. And then it also recalled like Zechariah chapter 14 with waters flowing out from the temple to all of creation, and that God himself will be king over all creation. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, but it all had to do with water. So if you're going to the Feast of Booths, you better pack your swimsuit, right? And it was all having to do with God's gift of life to his people. That he would provide, that he would dwell with them, and he would protect them. And they celebrated this great feast, the great feast, every year because they were remembering that they were still thirsty. Anybody here thirsty? They were thirsty for God's ultimate fulfillment of his presence and his ultimate fulfillment of his protection and his ultimate fulfillment of what of his provision for their life. And that's why it was a 7-day feast with an 8th day. They would all stick around on the 8th day and they'd be packing up their tents and packing up their booths. And then they would gather for a sacred assembly. And they wouldn't parade the water up to the altar on this day because they were reminded that they were waiting for the great fulfillment. That God still promised to ultimately come and be the king and dwell with his people and give eternal life to his people. And when you know all that, then it makes sense why Jesus cries out, right? Well, what does Jesus cry out on this great 8th day when they're waiting for fulfillment? What does he say? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoa. What is Jesus saying? That this great Feast of Booths was all about who? Jesus. The one who provides the true living water for his creation. So I asked you a couple minutes ago, are you thirsty? Do you need the living water that Jesus gives? Hey, and we all know what it means to be thirsty, right? I mean, it's like the worst feeling in the world when you're feeling it, right? Your tongue gets sticky and dry, and it starts to stick to the roof of your mouth. And if you go too long without water, what's the only thing that you can think about? Water. And you start dreaming about how good water is. And you start wondering, like, why don't I drink more water? And you start thinking, like, why don't I drink water all the time? Water is the best thing ever. I really want water. Is there water? And you can't think about it. And you get desperate. And by the way, you go too long without water, and what happens to you? You die, right? And you are keenly aware of this when you are thirsty. You're like, boy, I am so thirsty, I'm going to die. And all you can think about is water. When Jesus cries out, he is saying that sin makes you thirsty. Anybody here thirsty? Sin makes you thirsty. When God's commandments convict you, and you realize that you are living in desperation and it's going to lead to your death. And there's a whole lot of ways to be sin thirsty. Maybe it's a temper that you can't get over. Maybe it's a hard heart and being stubborn. Maybe it's a poor attitude that you have, that you kind of like having that attitude, right? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's disturbing thoughts that disturb even yourself. Maybe it's dirty jokes. Maybe it's just apathy about God and His gifts. And sin thirst can also lead to questions that usually start with something like, why is God filling in the blank? Or will God fill in the blank? And it leads to this doubt. That's sin thirst. Anybody here thirsty? I found this quote by Martin Luther as he was talking about John chapter 7, our gospel reading this morning, and he explains sin thirst, all right? He says, this is not a physical thirst, such as is felt for beer or wine. Oh, thanks, Luther. You can tell where his mind was. But a thirst of the soul, a spiritual thirst, a heartfelt desire, yes, a distressed, wretched, terrified, aroused conscience, a despondent and frightened heart, which longs to know on what terms it is with God. When you have that kind of sin thirst, what do you need? Water. Living water. You need a spring of mist watering the land. You need a fountain of youth. You need a spring of living water that gives you rebirth. And did you catch what John said about what Jesus said? When Jesus said, come to me and drink, here's what John added after Jesus said that. He said in verse 39, now this Jesus said about the Spirit. Oh, happy Pentecost, by the way. He said about His Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, that Jesus would give His Holy Spirit to those who thirst, that's all of us, when Jesus was glorified. When was Jesus glorified? On the cross. When John talks about the glory of Jesus, it is always, always, always the cross. Boy, if that was you, would you feel glorified in that moment? And yet, the greatest thing that Jesus does for you as your King is the cross. Because it's the cross that is the source of life. And it's on that cross that Jesus said, it is what? Finished. And it's on that cross where it says, Scripture says that He gave up His Spirit. He gives of His Holy Spirit. And if Jesus gives of His Holy Spirit on the cross, and it's the cross that is where Jesus gives life, then where the cross is, there is the Holy Spirit, which also works the other way around, because where the Holy Spirit is, there is Jesus' cross, His life-giving cross. At Pentecost, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes Jesus' cross something that you can access today. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' cross a spring of living water. That cross that was there 2,000 years ago, how would you access something 2,000 years ago? You could try a time machine. But the Holy Spirit brings the life from the cross 2,000 years ago to you today. The Holy Spirit makes the cross a spring of living water. And so the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' cross to you with your name on it. And the Holy Spirit quenches your thirst with Jesus as life-giving water. And the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' forgiveness to you by name, and he renews you with Jesus' life, and he restores you in only a way that the Lord himself could restore you. And he is present with you. And it's there that the Holy Spirit makes the crucified one who rose again to be your king. Anybody here need Jesus in charge of their lives? The Holy Spirit makes Jesus' cross accessible to you. And he does that in real, tangible ways. Like in your baptism. That's when God put his name on you and said that Jesus died for you by name. Like in the supper, when you get to chew on Jesus' forgiveness. When the Holy Spirit gives you words to pray to our Lord, even in those hardest moments, and you look around and you see all these people around you, the Holy Spirit thought it was a good idea to bring you to the rest of these people, to give you a church, people who would support you and bring God's word to you and pray for you and forgive you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit also makes available to you a pastor. And while the pastor isn't any holier than any of you, I can give you a special invitation. And that is, if you have any sins that are making you really sin thirsty, you know who you can go to and who won't blabber a single word about it and who will give you forgiveness that you can count on? Forgiveness that you know you're going to get when you bring those sins? The pastor. If you are sin thirsty, please come and talk to me. Where you can confess your sins and you know you can receive forgiveness. It's a spring of living water. And by the way, did you catch what Jesus said? The second thing he said? In verse 38, he said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow springs, rivers of living water." You know who Jesus is talking about?
You.
Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit makes you, dear Christian, a spring of living water for others. Oh, isn't this cool? So just as Adam was created along with the springs of living water that watered creation and gave life to creation, you are like water for other people. You refresh them and you give life to them. And just as Scripture foretold, waters flowing from God's temple, watering all of creation. Guess what, dear Christian? Where are you right now? In the presence of God, in his temple of his people. And after church today, when the preacher's finally done preaching, guess what? You're going to go out and you are going to be a river of God's living water going into creation, watering creation. And by the way, did you hear what Tom read for us in our Old Testament reading? By the way, good job at the Acts reading. It's like you were speaking tongues with all those names. Yeah. But did you hear what it said in the Old Testament reading? What Moses said in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29? Would that all the Lord's people, that's all of you guys, would that all of the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Oh. And what's happened, dear Christian? The Lord has put his spirit on you. And you bring his word to others. You prophesy his word. Jesus is renewing and he is watering and he is restoring and he is healing all of creation by his Holy Spirit through you. Do you think how you live and what you say matters? I would say so. The Lord is using you to care for His creation. And by the way, when the Holy Spirit uses you, remember where the cross of Jesus is, there is His Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is the cross of Jesus. When you bring His Word to creation, you're bringing the cross into creation. God places you, dear Christian, where He needs you to be. And there might be a dry, arid, desert, wilderness place that you live in and you work in and you go through life in. And for that dry, desert place, you are a spring of living water. Someone who is sin thirsty, who is spiritually thirsty, can only be quenched by the word of the Holy Spirit that you bring to them. And that might be in the dry, arid desert of your marriage. That might be in the dry, arid desert of your neighbor. That might be in the dry, arid desert of a coworker or friends. You know what? It's beautiful. I've even seen kids bring God's word to the dry, arid desert of their parents. Can the Holy Spirit use whoever He wants? I would say so. Dear Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. Speak up. Would that all of God's people would prophesy. That is you. And you may not know what to say, but you know what? Trust that the Holy Spirit is God, and He'll give you the words to say. Just be faithful to His word, because His word is a spring, a river of living water that is going through all of creation. It is a well of eternal life. It is a fountain of youth that brings abundance to God's world. Pentecost sees that feast of booths, right? Christmas and a harvest festival, 7 days all in one. Oh, we should do that. Wouldn't that be fun? Pentecost sees the feast of booths fulfilled. King Jesus, who is with us by His Holy Spirit, giving life to all the world. And it leads to a greater fulfillment one day, where God will recreate His world, make His dwelling with us, and bring His kingdom to the world. So in Jesus' name, amen.